I'm going to do the Bible reading, so if you want to grab your Bibles out. We're going to be reading from the Amplified Version tonight because Brendan's going to be referring to that. So you can still follow along with the NIV if you have that too. So it's from 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verses 23 to 27. And I do all this for the sake of the gospel, so that I may share in its blessings along with you. Do you not know that in a race, all the runners run their very best to win, but only one receives the prize? Run your race in such a way that you may seize the prize and make it yours. Now, every athlete who goes into training and competes in the games is disciplined and exercises self-control in all things. They do it to win a crown that withers, but we do it to receive an imperishable crown that cannot wither. Therefore, I do not run without a definite goal. I do not flail around like one beating the air, just shadow boxing. But like a boxer, I strictly discipline my body and make it my slave, so that after I have preached the gospel to others, I myself will not somehow be disqualified as unfit for service.
A few weeks ago, I got to speak on patience, and you'll remember those that were here that afternoon. I talked about a church in Florida that does like a 22-minute service. Remember that? And some of you thought that was a good idea, actually, at the time. And as part of that 22-minute service, they have like an 8-minute sermon. Now, I'm going to aim for a shorter than half an hour today, but I thought jumping from 30 minutes to 8 minutes in one jump was too much. So I'm going to aim for 15 minutes because we've had a long service, but I'm hoping to still do justice to this great topic of self-control. But hey, welcome again and congratulations to the Waterhouses and also to the Woods. That'd be us. That's cool. Like, how blessed am I? Did you see my four girls? Like punching above weight massively. Beautiful. And Annalise and Penny, they're beautiful, beautiful kids. So we're so blessed. And it's just been good just celebrating this journey of faith, hasn't it? That's what we've done tonight. It starts right from when we're born and the influence of our parents and our family. And then that faith grows and develops with friends and church community like this, you know, playing an even more important role. So great to see those two stages of faith sort of represented this afternoon. And if you are visiting with us, we're coming to the end of our series on the fruit of the Spirit. That's what we've been looking at this term. And the role that the Spirit of God has in our lives in making God known to us through His guidance and through His direction, through His comfort, and primarily in helping us to grow to be more and more like His Son Jesus. So each week we've been unpacking each of the fruit of the Spirit as described by Paul in Galatians chapter 5. And tonight, as we've mentioned, we come to this final one of self-control. And alongside the fruit of the Spirit of love, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness and gentleness, self-control kind of seems like the black sheep of the fruit of the Spirit family, doesn't it? They're also lovely and kind and beautiful. And then we get to this last one, self-control. And straight away, you know, it just seems our natural response when we hear the term self-control is to think in the negative, isn't it? Like it's some sort of constraining type of thing that God wants to place upon us, that somehow He wants to limit us or confine us or restrict us in who we are or what we do as His people. And in fact, what we're going to discover tonight is it's exactly the opposite. We think somehow that this is a bad thing that's going to impinge upon our choices and the things that we want to do and achieve throughout our lives. So poor old self-control gets a bit of a rough deal. Which is interesting because when you think about it, when you think back on your life and reflect on your life thus far, and you think about the great things that you've achieved in life, I have a strong suspicion that each time you've achieved that thing, it's taken high levels or a high degree of self-control. The HSC that you just finished, that would have taken high levels of self-control in order to make sure you studied the things you needed to study to do the assignments and to pass the exams. Personally, my mum can testify to this. I have no idea what that's like from when I did my HSC, but I hear it's really good if you do preparation, use self-control, and study what needs to be studied beforehand. The half or the full marathon that some people in this church have achieved this year took high levels of self-control for those people to get their body and their mind to a level that meant, A, they didn't die in the process, and B, they weren't tempted to give up somewhere along the way, like Todd Darvis did in the 100-kilometre run. Is he here? The work that you turn up to most days of the week, your employment, takes certain levels of self-control. You turn up, you're given a number of tasks that you're responsible for each day. And without self-control, the reality is that you wouldn't be employed in that place very long. All of these things, all these significant achievements that we celebrate from our lives actually come back to this beautiful thing called self-control. All of these significant achievements actually require some form of sacrifice and some form of discipline, some form of persistence or determination. And as we exercise that self-control, we realize we can actually use it to achieve great things in our lives. But even more than that, it's actually kind of necessary to bring out the very best from within us. So rather than being something negative, we actually begin to realize self-control is actually something very positive and life-giving. And as we consider that, and we discover actually that deep down, I hope this is going to work. Maybe you can just click to the next one there, Claire, if you're there. Deep down, we all of us actually want more self-control in our lives, in the same way that we want more love and joy and peace and the other fruit of the Spirit. It just so happens that poor old self-control gets a bad rap. So self-control is something that's really, really good for us as well as the people around us. Because you know what happens when people around us don't exercise good self-control. Without it, our world would actually be a complete shambles. And the reason is that self-control actually provides us with, this is how it defines from the Greek to the English, it actually provides us with this inner strength or this inner mastery over our lives that we wouldn't have otherwise. We can jump to the next slide. And I like this definition from Abraham Cho. He works with Tim Keller at Redeemer Church in the States. He says self-control is the ability to rule over impulses in pursuit of a greater good. Those of us who are close to our family will know that we have a beautiful little Jack Russell dog who's called Toby. She's 7 now. Her other name is Crazy, because she's quite crazy, just the energy that she has sometimes. She's a beautiful dog. She'll sit and she'll shake. She'll come inside for treats. She'll do everything she's asked to do as a beautiful little puppy. But I tell you what, if a possum or a rat or a blue-tongued lizard or a bush turkey comes into our yard, you know what happens, don't you, with Jack Russells? She cannot control herself. She just has no control over the DNA that's been bred into her over years and years and years. And she just kicks into attack mode. Us humans are different. We actually have this ability to rule over our impulses using this gift called self-control. So when my alarm goes off at 4 a.m. in the morning for me to get up to go fishing, my natural impulse is to do what? It's to lean over and hit that thing as hard as I can and to go back to sleep or to go back to snoring, keeping Kylie awake. But there's a greater good at play, isn't there, when I've set the alarm to go fishing at 4 a.m. in the morning. It's this hope that this may be the day that I land the big one. I'm talking the big one. This may be the morning that I catch the fish of a lifetime. And that's what gets me out of bed. This is one of the greater goods that I pursue on a semi-regular basis. And hopefully there's a number of greater goods in your life that inspire you and drive you to exercise self-control. And here's what some of those might be. The desire to provide for your family. That is a greater good that requires self-control. That's a good thing. The desire to love your partner or your spouse or the special people in your life in the best way possible is a greater good that requires us to rule over our time and our activities in a way that will allow those relationships to flourish. The desire to further your vocation is a greater good that will possibly require self-control to do some more study or to do some more personal development in some way. This is all great stuff, all requires self-control. But in this afternoon's passage, Paul is pointing to an even greater good, an even greater prize than all of these things put together. And you say, how can that be? Fishing and loving my family and hanging out with the people I love. Well, listen again what he says. We can jump to the next slide. He says, run your race in such a way that you may seize the prize and make it yours. Now, every athlete goes into training and competes in the games, is disciplined and exercises self-control in all things. They do it to win a crown that withers. But we do it to receive an imperishable crown that cannot wither. Here is ultimately why Paul is so concerned about the place of self-control in our lives and how we run this thing called life on a day-to-day basis. That's not running, that's just moving my arms, but you get the picture. Because he wants you and I to seize a greater prize and to make it ours. And he says this prize, this imperishable crown, this life lived with God is worth our complete focus and attention, just like the athlete who disciplines themselves and exercises total self-control. Why does Paul encourage such self-control like this? Well, listen to what he says. We can jump to the next slide in verse 23. I do all this for the sake of the gospel and so that I may share in its blessings along with you. This life, this race that we're invited to participate in is one of flourishing and fullness and blessings that come from the gospel of grace as it takes hold in our lives. And what Paul indicates here is that seizing that prize, which is for this life here and now, as well as a future eternal life that's promised, is worthy of our complete focus. He says it takes self-control and discipline to really take hold of this in our lives. Listen to what he says from verses 26. We can jump to the next one now. He says, therefore, I do not run without a definite goal. I do not flail around like one beating the air, just shadow boxing. But like a boxer, I strictly discipline my body and I make it my slave. I take control of my impulses for the greater good. Paul challenges us to live as if we know what our goal is, this imperishable crown, and to use self-control and to use mastery and to use inner strength and discipline to take hold of that life that he has for us. And how do we do that? How do we ensure we aren't just shadow boxing and beating the air? Well, let me make this nice and simple for us. We can jump to the next slide. Jerry Bridges has been quoted a few times over the last couple of weeks, thanks to Mitch. He says, self-control is about saying yes to the things we should and saying no to the things we shouldn't. That's it. Very profound, isn't it? You guys already know this stuff. Saying yes to the things we should and no to the things we shouldn't. But that's how it works, isn't it? We already know this, don't we? This is how self-control works in our lives. We exercise self-control by saying yes to the things that we know are good for us and good for those around us. We say yes to the things that we know will help us share in the blessings of the gospel, the blessings that God pours out upon us. By saying yes to the things that will help us and those around us flourish in life. But also saying no to those things that we know are going to drag us down. No to those things that we know are going to distract us from the greater good, the prize. No to those things that cause us to stumble and hurt ourselves or other people. No to those things that injure those that we love and we care about. Paul says, saying no to those things which are only going to perish. And that as we do that, we know what the result is for our lives, don't we? As we take control and we say yes to those things we should and no to those things we shouldn't, we actually become more empowered. We become happier as people. We're in control. We become more content. We become more focused. And we become more in control as this inner strength is allowed to influence and direct our lives. But we know this self-control stuff's really hard, don't we? Pop the next slide up if we can. Paul, who wrote the 1 Corinthians that we just read about and who wrote Galatians in Romans, writes this: I do not understand myself. I want to do what is right, but I do not do it. Instead, I do the very thing that I hate. It seems to be a fact of life that when I want to do what's right, I inevitably do what's wrong. I just love Paul's honesty here. And if you're anything like me and we are honest with ourselves also, then this is us, isn't it? I do not understand myself. I actually want to do what's right. I want to take control. And still, too often, I do that thing I don't want to do. We can be just like this guy. Can jump to the next slide. We can be like this guy, can't we? Probably more than we'd like to admit. I mean, I can't even trust myself to pick up the groceries at Coles. I go with a list, and you know what I see, don't you? I see specials. Specials that we need to buy now because we're going to save lots and lots of money. So I come home with lots of things that weren't on the list. So I don't get to do shopping much anymore. And Bunnings! Bunnings, just keep me away from Bunnings. That place takes stupidly high levels of well-honed, mature self-control to get in and out of that place with just the $3 packet of screws that you need for the project. I go in for the $3 packet of screws and I come out with a hedge trimmer and a pizza oven. I kid you not. Sometimes, despite our best intentions, we still find it difficult to be self-controlled. We find ourselves inwardly going, doh. And knowing this, God has been so kind to us. So kind when he included self-control as one of the fruit of his Holy Spirit as it grows in our lives. So kind that we may draw upon his help and his guidance and his empowering and his equipping to practice self-control from a place of grace and mercy and love and forgiveness that has been given to us in and through Jesus. That we may pray to him for help in those areas where we want to exercise better self-control. that we can pray specifically for those things in our lives where we need inner strength. This is life in step with the Holy Spirit. It's amazing, it's life-giving, it's life-affirming, and it's liberating. And the best thing of all, it's gracious towards us. And therefore, we can be gracious towards ourselves also. But also gracious towards other people. Because we know that those things that we are self-controlled in, sometimes other people are not. And those things that other people are self-controlled in, sometimes we're not. So as we go to judge, we can realize that we can remember our own areas of struggle, and we can be more charitable in our opinions towards others. We can pop the last slide up. So as I finish, I'm not sure if I've done the 15 minutes or not. The emphasis here with self-control is to allow all of the fruit of the Spirit to grow in our lives, that we may take hold of the life that God has called us to. So with a humble appreciation, we realize also that we may never attain self-control in all the areas of our life that we want to. But the goal here is that we would be growing. That we would be growing in love and being more loving. That we'd be growing and being more joyful, in being more peaceful and more kind. That we'd be growing in gentleness and faithfulness. And as we've heard this afternoon, in being more self-controlled. And it's a beautiful reminder, these fruit of the Spirit that have been poured out upon us. It's a beautiful reminder that God is with us and that God is for us. And that is good news. God is with Annalise and James and Aaron and Penelope in this thing called life. God is with Rachel Wood as she follows Jesus. And God is with you also. Let's pray.